Our reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Joshua, and we're beginning a series on Joshua and on victorious living, and Joshua really gives us some inspiration in that respect. So chapter 1, verse 1 and following, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. This morning I want to think about, in this new series, Victorious Living, Dreaming Great Dreams, from this perspective of this book of Joshua. Does anyone in the New Year's make any resolutions? Anyone besides myself, or have you given up? There we go. There's some out there. Some people may have given up on that. And sometimes we make resolutions that are hard to keep. They stretch us, and so sometimes the inspiration loses its way. But I came across this, which is New Year's resolutions that you know you can keep. All right? So if you haven't made all of yours and you want to make sure that you can keep them, listen to some of these. First resolution, gain weight, at least 30 pounds. I've already accomplished some of my goals, right? Stop exercising. Read less. It makes you think. These are ones you can keep, all right? Watch more TV. For some people, that might be a challenge. Procrastinate more starting tomorrow. You gotta like that. Take a vacation to someplace important, like seeing the world's largest ball of twine. I personally would like to see the world's largest ball of twine. Spend my summer vacation in cyberspace. Create more loose ends. Get further in debt. It's usually hard after Christmas time. Don't swim with piranhas or sharks. Good advice. Wait for opportunity to knock. And then finally, never make New Year's resolutions again, right? So, you know, you can get discouraged a little ways into your New Year's resolutions, but the truth is exciting to have a new year, and it's exciting. I always spend some time reflecting on the year past, the blessings that God has given me, some of the challenges that God has been present with me, and then try to look forward at the new year and set some goals. And sometimes I spend New Year's Eve, or at least I used to all the time, waiting for midnight for the ball to drop and all that. Now I seem to fall asleep before that happens. But a few years I was watching and kind of scanning the channels, and I didn't want to just wait for the ball to drop in Times Square, so I was scanning the channels, and there were two gentlemen, one by the name of Levi Lavelle and the other Robbie Mattson, and they were both going to jump the 400-foot river in San Diego, and one was going to do it on a motorcycle and one was going to do it on a snowmobile. Now, it doesn't snow a lot in San Diego, so they had brought in ice and snow for the snowmobile ramp. And we're keeping that packed with ice, and so at midnight, I was falling asleep even for that, and they both simultaneously went up the ramps and over the river, and I thought, you know, my New Year's Eve is just so boring in comparison to people that do this sort of thing. But in any case, I do make some New Year's resolutions, and maybe you do too, but I think as we look at this book of Joshua, it fits nicely with the new year, and I think it calls us to stretch ourselves a little bit. And I'd like you to kind of look at that with that in mind. And so this morning I want to think about dreaming great dreams. And you may have heard the adage to keep your feet on the ground and to reach for the stars. And I think that's sort of a good mantra for this. And the first thing to think about if you're going to accomplish great dreams, is to really have your feet on the ground. And by that I mean to have deep roots that sink into God's Word. And if you think about that, that's really necessary for dreams. And even to have great goals, you need to have dreams, because dreams are sort of what inspires us to goals. And I've been very inspired. I have up here Grant House's bookmark that reminds me of goals, and there's some more out there. The House family's been so generous with both the bracelets that are out there, if you don't have those, as well as the bookmarks. And Grant had a simple, beautiful, profound truth about having goals, and he had 106 goals for 2015. And you know, none of us accomplish all our goals, but to have the inspiration to do that, and even to do it about the ones that we love and our church, is so important. And so when you think about dreams, dreams sort of inform and inspire our goals that we set. And it isn't just the bad, you know, the good things in life. Sometimes it's the bad things that God can transform and make that part of our dreams. Muhammad Ali said this. He said, "If man can take moldy bread and make penicillin from it, imagine what a loving God can do with you." Now, you may not be moldy bread, but you think sometimes we're not all that we'd like to be. But if we allow God to take us into His hands and form and fashion us and put new dreams in our life, it's amazing what we could do if we just allow that. Now, when you look at this story of Joshua, the first thing to realize is kind of the backstory of Joshua, which is all of Moses. We don't know everything about Joshua. Some people suppose that he's the person that Moses, seeing a conflict between an Egyptian and Israelite, and went in to rescue, in fact, kill the Egyptian. Some people suppose that that was Joshua. There's sort of a Hebrew legend about that. We don't know if that's for sure. We do know that in Aramaic, Joshua's name is Yeshua. Now, Yeshua is the same name as Jesus, as you may know. And Joshua, in many ways, sort of prefigures Jesus in the sense of sort of accomplishing the victory of battling sort of the giants of the land and crossing through as the first person to cross over the River Jordan into the Promised Land. In a sense, we look at Jesus as doing that for us, and sometimes the Jordan River is looked at as the gateway between this life and the next life. Whatever the case, we know that Joshua was a tremendous leader for Israel. But one of the reasons that he was a great leader is that he sunk his roots deep into traditions and was mentored by Moses, which is one of the greatest people of all times. And you realize that we know that Joshua is there for all the great times and the miracles and the plagues that happened in Egypt. We know that Joshua was there when they came out of the land of Egypt and the chains of slavery. They faced the Red Sea, and then all of a sudden they were confronted by the armies of Pharaoh, and they didn't know where to go. And then Moses prayed to God, and then God told him to lift his staff, and when he did, the wind blew and parted the sea so they could pass through on dry ground. And then he was there after they went through on the other side, and then the Egyptian army began to come through the same spot, and then Moses once again lifted his staff, and the waters came crashing down and saved them from the Egyptian army that was pursuing them. So he had seen that. He'd also seen the moment when they had come against the Amalekites, or one of the first great battles that they faced, and the first time they faced the Amalekites, they didn't do so well. But then Moses went up to the mountaintop, and he began to pray, and then Joshua led the battle below as Moses prayed on the mountainside, and Joshua was victorious in battle because Moses was victorious in prayer before the people. So he had learned those lessons, but he'd also seen the downside. Remember that Joshua was there when the people, having just experienced the victory of God and the blessings and miracles of God, and then all of a sudden they went into the desert and they were thirsty and they were starving, and they complained and grumbled to Moses and didn't show their best side, and they came to water and it was bitter, and they were upset about that, and Moses prayed, and then God transformed the water from bitter to sweet. And so he'd seen the people grumble and complain in that moment. And then not long after that, they were hungry. And then God gave them manna, but they had grumbled and complained to get that. And then when they finally reached the Jordan River, and Moses sent in 12 spies, Joshua was one of those 12 spies. And all the 12 spies went into the land to spy it out and see what the land looked like and what the challenges were before them. And as they did that, they all came back and said that it was a great land, flowing with milk and honey and abundance and blessing. But 10 of those spies said that there were giants in the land, and that there was no way they could ever face those giants and be victorious. Joshua and Caleb were the two spies that came back and said, yes, it's flowing with milk and honey and abundance and blessing, and yes, there are giants in the land, but if we have faith in God, then we can be victorious. And the people tried to stone them and kill them, and God intervened, and then God told them they had to wander the wilderness for 40 years until that generation passed away and a new generation was ready to go forward. And so Joshua had been with Moses while they wandered the wilderness for 40 years, and he was one of the only people that was going to cross over into the promised land, and he was going to be the one who took the place of Moses and led him into that land. So he had experienced that, and this is what it says about Moses. So even though he experienced that, he had to feel a little bit of humility and worry. This is what the Bible says about Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 34. After Moses had climbed Mount Nebo and God had showed him all of the promised land, then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised in an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I've let you see it with your own eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. And since then, listen to this, since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all the Egyptians of the whole land. For no one has ever known the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Amazing. And elsewhere it says that Moses was the most humble man ever. So not only was he strong and powerful, a courageous leader, but he was the most humble man ever. And so Joshua had to take his place. But God gave him the promise that he was faithful in the word, keep his roots deep in the word, and was faithful to the word, that God would be faithful to him and to all Israel. And he knew by the word and by God's blessing on his life and by prayer that God would be faithful to him. And for us facing a new year, I think the challenge is to us. Where are our roots? Do we have deep roots in God's word? Do we have deep roots in the family of faith? Do we have people that are mentoring our lives? And maybe if you're a person older in years, then maybe the question would be to you, are you mentoring someone else? Or are you pouring your life into them so they can have some deep roots, so they know the history of faith and your journey of faith, and so you can inspire them along life's way? Joshua had deep roots. That was one of the things that enabled him to dream great dreams. So to have deep roots and then to dare to dream. And Joshua did dare to dream. He had known slavery in the land of Egypt, and he had traveled beside Moses, and he had faith to believe that God could overcome the giants in the land. This is what it says again. God's promise to Joshua and the same words that Joshua shared to the people. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know, in that short moment, there's an incredible promise there about being courageous and knowing that God will be with you and not to be discouraged and not to be downcast. And the truth is, maybe the reason that God had to repeat that three times to Joshua is that he was fearful. He was afraid. He was discouraged at times, knowing the mantle of leadership that he had to take upon himself. But God was encouraging him and breathing faith into him so he'd stretch and dare and believe and reach for what was ahead. Listen to Jesus' words and disciples in Matthew 17 that Tim read earlier. The disciples had gone and tried to work a miracle, and they had failed miserably, and they felt discouraged about that. And then Jesus came and healed the man's son. And in that moment, I know they probably reveled in Jesus' healing and Jesus' compassion and the miracle. But later, when they were with the Lord, they came to him and said, "We're awfully discouraged that we seem to fail and fall short." And Jesus' words to them were this: "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And Jesus was telling them what he probably needs to tell us time and again, is sometimes when we stretch for things that are great dreams in our life, that we do fall short. But we need to lean on God's grace and mercy and strength. And when we do, nothing is impossible for us. And I think that's true as individuals and also as a family of faith. that we need to stretch for things that are sometimes difficult. And when we do, God comes to us. And when we fall short, then God comes around with us with his mercy and grace and wants to lift us up. There's a great promise in Jeremiah 29 that says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you." God has good plans for our future if we lean into his grace and if we seek him with all of our heart. And Jesus said that we need to ask and sort of to keep on asking. If we do, that the answer will be there. And I think that we need to dream and aspire dreams that are born of right values, that honor our gifts and talents that God has blessed us with, and then to dare to follow our dreams in ways that sometimes stretch us. Jesus said, to seek and you will find, and that word means to keep on seeking and we'll find. And sometimes it doesn't happen overnight, but when we have great dreams, it takes some time and some effort and even some discipline. Jesus said to knock and it will be open to you, but it means to keep on knocking. So there's some persistence and discipline and all that. Joshua knew as he went before the people this day that there were in fact giants on the other side of the river. He knew that the challenge and adversity and difficulty were great. He had seen them with his own eyes 40 years before, and he knew what was there. But he knew that with God's blessing and God's assurance that God would be with him as long as they were faithful to God's word. And the question for us, I think, is in a new year, where are our dreams? Are they ones that would honor God and use the gifts and talents that God has given us? Are they dreams that inspire us to new goals? And even if we fall short sometimes, we're willing to stretch ourselves a little as individuals and as families and as a family of faith. And when you think about some of the great people in life, they sometimes fell short. And you think of Thomas Edison, who used 10,000 filaments before he found the right one for the light bulb. And someone asked him one time, a reporter, about that. And he said, "Well, you know, there weren't 10,000 failures. There were 10,000 ways of before I found the right one, and it led me to the right filament." And in our own lives, sometimes there's chapters of our life that are difficult, and yet God can use them as stepping stones to new goals and new dreams and aspirations. And so in a new year, as we look at Joshua in this moment, as he stands between, you know, the wilderness and the promised land with the obstacle of the Jordan River during flood season, and he sees the giants on the other side, that he was inspired by God and promised by God that if they would stretch and believe in him and have faith, that if they kept their roots deep in God's word and trusted him, that they could be faithful and stretch towards new things. And we should do the same thing. When Savannah was young, and even now, we always, before bedtime, we take a moment and we sometimes share the things that we're thankful for, blessings that God has given us, and then we have a prayer. And when she was young, I had a little lullaby that I wrote for her that I used to sing every night, and she would always say, "Oh, Daddy, sing me my song." And she didn't know that I couldn't sing, so she was happy to hear me sing her song. And I wrote that one before she was even born. And the chorus goes like this. I'm not going to sing it, but just the words are: "Dream a little dream, my child. Dream a lullaby. Dream a little dream, my child. You can touch the sky." And my dream, like I think every parent, is that I want her to be able to accomplish the dreams that she has. I want her to use the gifts and talents for challenges that are there for her and have her unique place in life and in this world and to do things that honor God and use her gifts and talents. And you know, the truth is true for all of you as well. You have dreams for your children, your grandchildren, and you want them to use the gifts and talents they've used and to enjoy life and to do things that use their gifts and talents for great things and to see their dreams come true. And our Heavenly Father is the same with each and every one of us. We're His children. He loves us like a parent, and He wants us to use our gifts and talents in great ways that make our dreams come to fulfillment. He's put the seed of those dreams in our lives as individuals and as families and as a family of faith. And in the beginning of this new year, I just challenge us, whatever our failures and shortcomings are, to just sort of push those aside and know that God can use even those things. You know, after all, like Muhammad Ali said, if man can take moldy bread and out of it make penicillin, then imagine what a loving God can do with you and I. So God can take even some of the things that we don't think are very good and use them to help us stretch and do great things as individuals and as families and as a family of faith. And I challenge us to do that. If we just sort of for a moment in the new year kind of quiet ourselves and tune ourselves in with our loving Heavenly Father and know His heart and the blessings and the gifts and talents He's blessed us with, then we can accomplish great things. Billy Graham wrote, he said, out west, an old sheep herder had a violin, and it was out of tune. He had no way of tuning it, so in desperation, he wrote to one radio station and asked them at a certain time of the day to strike the tone A. The officials of the radio station decided they would accommodate the old fellow, and on that particular day, at that particular time, they struck the note A on the broadcast station, and the old fellow tuned his fiddle to that note, and once again, his cabin echoed with joyful music. In the same way, sometimes we, in our lives, get out of tune with God. But if we'll tune ourselves in to the notes that the Master plays for us, then all of a sudden, we'll find that our hearts and lives are retuned to Him. And as we retune our hearts and lives to God, we can know that the gifts and talents that God has given us, God has put seeds of dreams in our life to use those in ways that honor God and bless others. And so I challenge us as individuals and as families of faith and as families to do exactly that, to dream great dreams and to have our feet and roots deeply into the Word of God. And when we do, we'll be a blessing to each other. We'll be a blessing in our neighborhood, in our community, and around the world, and to do great things for God. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, in a new season, in a new year, we look back and see the blessings that You've given us. We see sometimes the heartache and shortcomings that we've had, and so we give You all those things. We thank You that You love us more than anyone else. You have dreams and aspirations for us, and You've put dreams in our heart. And so today, in a new year, help us to have our roots deeply in Your Word, grounded in Your grace and love in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But through faith in Jesus Christ and Your grace, help us to have faith in new dreams, dreams that we can accomplish that honor You and use the gifts and talents You blessed us with, gifts that encourage one another, and use our gifts and talents together as a family of faith to do great things that honor You, to serve You and to serve others. Help us to enjoy those dreams and enjoy Your grace and blessing. We pray that all that we do will be done in Your honor, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.